Each year, the Easter Vigil is a special time for my wife and me. It conjures memories of the vigil 14 years ago when we were welcomed into the Catholic Church and of a multitude of special moments in the RCIA process leading up to that glorious night. I'll tell you about one special RCIA memory coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
This is The Inner Life. Each day, our top-notch spiritual directors are here to offer you guidance and counsel as you seek to live out your Catholic faith more deeply day by day. We're here to walk the journey with you. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. At last Saturday's Easter Vigil, thousands of people across the country were welcomed into the Catholic Church, including two adults at my parish. When the Easter Vigil rolls around each year, my mind goes back to the RCIA process and the many beloved memories of that blessed time. The holy friendships, all the learning, the many different experiences, the prayers, the various rites, and all along the way, growing closer to our Lord. I have a memory of one particular RCIA session when our director invited the whole lot of us, catechumens, candidates, and sponsors, down to the Adoration Chapel. When we got there, he had us take out our rosaries, only he told us we weren't going to be praying the rosary. We were going to learn a new prayer, one that was called the Divine Mercy Chaplet. At that point, I was altogether unfamiliar with it. He began leading us through the prayers, singing them, actually. And as we went on, the repetition, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world," drilled its way deeply down into me. This repeated cry to the Lord for his mercy moved me, even in my very first time of praying it. Fast forward to that year's Easter Vigil. After all of the wonder-filled experiences of making our profession of faith and being received into the Church, receiving confirmation and receiving our Lord for the very first time in the Blessed Sacrament, my wife and I were over the moon. We wanted to celebrate. And even at the very late hour when the vigil concluded, we had a few family members and friends over for a small party. My sponsor, Larry, may he now rest in peace, was there. And he gave me a gift, a beautifully crafted image of the Divine Mercy, which still hangs prominently in my home. I feel like my knowledge of and devotion to the Divine Mercy since then has been gradually but consistently growing. I've learned a lot, but I feel like there are untold depths that I've yet to plumb. That's why I'm excited about dedicating the show today to exploring devotion to the Divine Mercy. And leading us through our discussion today is our spiritual director, Father John Eckert. Father Eckert is the pastor of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. Welcome back to you, Father, and happy Easter.
Patrick, happy Easter to you, too. It's always good to be back with you, and happy anniversary on coming into the Catholic Church.
Thank you so much, and the same for all of our listeners who have experienced that same thing. We are grateful for it. I know I think it's honest to say that there's not a day that goes by that we're not thankful that the Lord has led us into his Catholic Church. So grateful for that and grateful to be with you, Father, as we're exploring this great devotion. As I said, I mean, I feel like it's the devotion to the Divine Mercy is one of those things that I know some about, but I'm continuing to learn and grow, so I'm excited about our conversation today. Do you want to start us off maybe with a brief history of the image and the devotion to God's Divine Mercy?
Sure. So, you know, and I'm no like complete expert. You know, I'm a diocesan priest. I'm not one of the Marian fathers like Father Gately. In fact, just to kind of prepare for today, I was listening to Father Gately, and they have a lot of wonderful resources at thedivinemercy.org. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it goes back to revelations that our Lord made to Sister Mary Faustina Kowalska, who passed away in 1938 in Poland. And so you think about that, this religious sister, not very well educated. You know, it's always interesting. Our Lord seems to prefer to make his special revelations, his special visits, you know, just insights. It's almost always to the humble little ones, you know, or like he sends his blessed mother to the humble little ones, like Francisca, Jacinta, Lucia, or Juan Diego, Bernadette. And it strikes me that Sister Faustina is kind of one of those. And of course, you think 1938 when she passes away, right on the, you know, at just a year before World War II breaks out there, and Poland, you know, is just, I mean, I guess for lack of a better phrase, crucified, you know, under the Nazi occupation, and then eventually after that by communist occupation after the war. And, you know, just all of, you know, the horrors of the 20th century. And yet, before, you know, that really gets going, it's our Lord reminding basically humanity, but through this humble Polish nun, of his great mercy, the ocean, you know, of his divine mercy that he wants to pour out on the whole world, that he is in love with us, you know, that his heart is just on fire with love for all of us. And, you know, it's interesting, we have these special revelations, you know, over the years. There's nothing new added to the deposit of the faith. You know, I mean, we have sacred scripture, we have tradition, but with things like this, like what an analogy I was kind of thinking of is, it's sort of like, you know, when the teacher is trying to teach her class something, and, you know, she knows what she's trying to get across. Maybe the students just aren't quite getting it. And she'll say, like, okay, let me give you a hint. Let me just kind of like point you in this direction. They still have to keep, you know, participating, moving in that direction, but maybe she kind of highlights something, points towards something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with something like this, with these revelations to Sister Maria Faustina, of the divine mercy, it's like our Lord saying, this has always been about my love of you. I want you to come to me. I want you to trust in me. You know, and so he gives us, you know, this beautiful way of praying. And the Marian Fathers give an acronym called FINCH, F-I-N-C-H,
yeah,
to help us,
yeah,
remember everything about divine mercy. So the feast, which we're getting ready to celebrate in just a couple days here on Sunday, the image of our Lord and of divine mercy, the novena, and we are currently on day 8 of that novena, the chaplet, and then the hour is the H. So the 3 o'clock hour when our Lord, you know, died for us on the cross. And so that FINCH kind of summarizes the whole thing in just sort of an easy way to kind of remember the essentials of the devotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can appreciate the FINCH acronym. I'm always a sucker for mnemonic devices, so it's very good to have these things to help me remember. So feast, image, novena, chaplet, and hour, F-I-N-C-H, FINCH. One of the things about the image that this kind of just popped into my head yesterday. I was teaching some of my religion students specifically about the divine image, but okay, and listeners, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. Father, you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe it's fair to say that the image of the divine mercy that is given to us may be the only image in all of history that Jesus himself actually posed for.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, I'm at Sacred Heart Parish, and so, but at the same time, I mean, I guess to be fair. I don't know that, you know, Margaret Mary Alacoque said we have to have an image of our Lord in the Divine Heart, the Sacred Heart.
Right.
I mean, we do have many of those images, but I don't know that our Lord ever posed for it. I mean, it's a good thought. I don't know.
I don't know. Just okay. Well, okay. Just a little bit of levity as we're getting into it now. So let's talk about specifically, I mean, obviously all of these things as we're celebrating the divine mercy, and Pope St. John Paul II, we'll get into him too as we're talking about this, but certainly it's all revolving around the Lord wanting to share his mercy with us individually and with the whole of the world and all of human history, right? And so what are we talking about when we talk about the mercy of God? Help us to start to begin to grasp that, Father.
Well, if you look at, so the word mercy, you know, coming from the Latin, you know, misericordiae, like, you know, the suffering of the heart, or like the compassion of God, right? Like compassion to suffer with.
Yeah.
And we think back on, you know, so this novena, these 9 days of preparation for the Feast of Divine Mercy on Sunday, that began on Good Friday, you know, the day that our Lord, you know, went through his passion, that he suffered with us, that he suffered for us. Why? Because like his heart is on fire with love for us. At the, you know, towards the end, as we heard last Friday in the Passion according to John, you know, he said, "I thirst." And what is he thirsting for? Our love. You know, his heart is just longing for us to be there with him. Like he has a heart that wants to wipe away our pain, wants to save us from our sin, you know, and wants to have mercy on us, wants to save us from, you know, the results of sin, of the first sin of our parents, of our first parents, and from the subsequent sins that have happened, our own personal sins. I mean, and why? Because, you know, sin leads us away from God, leads us into isolation, you know, makes us a slave of whatever it is that we're going after. And he does not want that for us. He has a heart that suffers out of love for us. And in looking at this particular time period, this novena, right, as we reflect on the holy days of the Triduum, of all that our Lord went through for us, this is a great opportunity for us and you know, and have mercy on us and on the whole world. I mean, there's not one person that's created in the image and likeness of God that our Lord doesn't love, that he doesn't will their salvation, that, you know, he wants all of us to be in his eternal embrace, you know, in the embrace, the love of the Holy Trinity forever. You know, as we heard back on Palm Sunday in the second reading from St. Paul, Jesus didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at, jealously clung to. And you know, think about that grasping, like Adam and Eve grasping at the apple, right? No, our Lord opens himself up to the point of opening up his arms on the cross, giving away everything for us, right down to the blood and water which gushed forth from his heart, you know, on the cross. You know, oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a font of mercy for us. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Like he wants us to be in that love. And I think during these days of the Divine Mercy, it's kind of like this call to the whole world and to us individually to respond almost like with mercy for our Lord, to recognize everything he's done for us and that he thirsts for our love and wants us to give it back. Like he doesn't want to do all of this and just have us turn our back and walk away. I mean, as you look at the novena tomorrow, you know, there's an intention for every day of these 9 days beginning last Friday. Well, tomorrow's is kind of the hardest hitting of them all, so to speak, when he says today to bring to him those souls who have become lukewarm and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. When you think about that, it's sort of like in Revelation, when he says, you know, you are lukewarm and I will spit you from my mouth because you are neither hot nor cold. You know, it's like, to think, you know, in our own lives, like if you go all out, you know, and you want to do something really special, let's say for your spouse, right? You're like, you want to throw this big surprise party and you do everything you can. You've got all the favorite foods, invite everybody in. If the response is, I mean, I think that hurts more, you know, than anything. Just indifference is one of those things that just, you know, it's like a real slap in the face to the God who has this incredible mercy, this, you know, hesed is sort of like the Hebrew term for this awesome familial outpouring of love from God. And if we respond to that with just, I don't really care, I mean, it, like I said, it's like a slap in the face to our Lord. And during these days, it's like this special hint towards Revelation, like, hey, don't forget, like, this is all efficacious. This is all real. I've really gone to this extent, and I want you to have my mercy. I want you to trust in this. And it's an incredible gift, and one that I think we probably all need reminding of. And that's why, you know, thanks be to God, he gives us this special time to remember this every year.
Amen to that. We are talking today with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert, about the divine mercy. Do you have a devotion to the divine mercy? Do you enjoy praying the chaplet? How has mercy changed your life, and how have you entered into receiving the great, great mercy of God, one for us most especially on the cross? Give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, that number is 888-914-9149. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, by the way. And if you prefer, of course, you can always send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, I'm glad you brought up that word hesed, that Hebrew term, because sometimes we can kind of fool ourselves into thinking that, well, you know, the New Testament God, the God that's presented to us in the person of Jesus Christ, you know, suddenly that's the merciful, tender, compassionate, forgiving God, as almost in contradistinction to the God that we encounter in the Old Testament. But there are so many places where we can observe the mercy of God active in and throughout the Hebrew scriptures as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, from the very beginning, from the creation narrative of, I mean, God didn't have to do any of this from the beginning, like, right? Like, he's not dependent on us. Like, it's this awesome overflowing love from the eternal Trinity that we're here at all, you know? And so, you know, and just making all of this beauty, breathing life into man, you know, in the beginning, and loving him and walking with him in the cool of the evening in the garden, and, you know, and giving him his helpmate in Eve, and the two of them coming together, you know, all this beauty there. And even when man turns his back on God, you know, I think one of the saddest lines in all of sacred scripture is when God says, "Where are you?" You know, yeah. and just man wandering away from God. But time and again, like, he's always offering, you know, another way back, another covenant, another, you know, another prophet to show us the way. And when you think about, you know, what looks like anger from God in the Old Testament, essentially it's him letting us have our way when we've chosen against him. You know, it's like when you choose sin, I mean, sin is its own reward. It's not like, you know, God is going to corrupt this, but it's like when you choose in a selfish way, when you choose against what he's given us, like, inevitably, like, that has consequences. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's like his anger is just like letting us have the fruits of what we've decided on. And as, you know, the chosen people continue to turn their back on him, he doesn't give up on them. Like, he lets them have their way. It's like, okay, we want to be like other nations. Like, okay, but, you know, you're going to get beat up by these other nations when that happens, when you just want to go along with the same political power structure as everybody else. Well, okay, that's not going to lead to peace and happiness. You know, I mean, it's going to be hard, but he's always offering us a way back. You know, he's always ready to accept our repentance. He's always trying to woo us back home. And, you know, as we look towards Jesus Christ, you know, we just had the gospel on, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday night of the road to Emmaus, right? Like, Jesus walks, you know, on Easter afternoon, you know, with Cleopas and this other disciple, opening for them the law and the prophets of how everything pointed towards the Son. I mean, it's not like Jesus Christ coming was just some surprise on the horizon. He fulfilled sacred scripture that our, you know, God knew that in the fullness of time, he would send his only begotten Son to love us even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Like, he would go to the very depths of God-forsakenness itself. We say he descended into hell. Like, he went as far as he could possibly go to bring us into his love. And it's just a continuation and fulfillment right back from the very opening words of Genesis, you know, in the beginning, on the first day of the week, you know, and it said, you know, in John's gospel, on that first day of the week, you know, when it's still very early, when it's, you know, there he is. Like, it all points towards him loving us so much and thirsting after our love. And so, with Jesus Christ, it's not like a breaking with the way things had been. It's a fulfillment of the way that God had always intended it to be. I mean, even when you think about, we just had the Easter Vigil this last Saturday night, and you have the Exultet with that interesting line, "O happy fault of Adam," you know, that gained for us such a salvation, that even after that fault, that sin of Adam, you know, the original sin, God knew what he would do to restore that in sending his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And now, you know, not only are we created in God's image and likeness, because of Jesus Christ, we now are able to become his sons and daughters. I got to baptize 20 people on Saturday night.
Wow.
And I got to, you know, like to bring them into the body of Christ. I mean, just the glory of that. Like, I mean, to go from being, you know, a natural creation to a supernatural son and daughter of God, it's glorious. And this is what God has intended from the beginning. So it's not a break. It's a fuller revelation. It's even, you know, it's more than just like the hint I was talking about before. It is the whole message. And that message is the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. I tell you what, Father, before we go to our first break, let's take a phone call. Cynthia's called in from San Marcos, Texas. Cynthia, welcome. Thanks for calling in The Inner Life.
Oh, thank you. Hi, friends. Two things that I'm still continually learning about the Divine Mercy message is that Jesus tells St. Faustina that the image is also a sign of the demands of his mercy, what the demands of living the Divine Mercy message are, and that is active love towards our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, those who are in the most misery. So I think that's so important to be out there in the world in your vocation, serving and bringing people through the message out of their misery, or helping them to get back on their feet and to believing that they are so loved. The other thing is that we are always asking our Lord for something, which is what we're supposed to do, but he also is asking us in the Divine Mercy Novena. He's asking us to bring souls to him. So those are just two things that have really touched me, and thank you for your show.
Cynthia, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'll tell you, there's a beautiful paragraph in Pope Benedict XVI's first encyclical letter, Deus Caritas Est, God is Love. It's paragraph 25 in part A, where he says that the three parts of the Christian life are to proclaim the gospel, to live, like to participate, live, celebrate the sacraments, and to carry out the works of charity, like that love, that mercy you were just talking about. And he says that the three are inseparable. And you're absolutely right. It's like it's not possible for us as disciples of Jesus Christ, as being part of the body of Christ, to receive all this and then to just like hold it to ourselves selfishly. Like that's not the way that this works. We are, you know, by our baptism, by being a part of the body of Christ, it has to be active. I mean, it's just like, you know, the wicked servant. We can't receive all this mercy and then refuse to give it ourselves. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, we're learning in this life to love the way they love in heaven. And we learn that by the gospel, the word of God, by the celebration of the sacraments, and by carrying out the works of charity. And as Pope Benedict XVI told us, those three are inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, thank you so much for the phone call, and we're grateful that you were listening and calling in to talk about the Divine Mercy. That's what we're speaking about today. If you have a devotion to the Divine Mercy, if you've seen some, maybe even miraculous things, we never tire of hearing about those things that are your devotion to the Divine Mercy. How has mercy, the mercy of the Lord, changed your life? Give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email at innerlife@relevantradio.com. Much more of the conversation yet to come with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert, coming up right after this first break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Your mercies are new, new every
they are. Welcome back to The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. Grateful that you have joined us today as we're talking about devotion to the Divine Mercy in anticipation of Divine Mercy Sunday coming up in just a couple days here. Glad you could join us. If you have a devotion or a question about devotion to the Divine Mercy, give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149 or tell us what mercy means, the mercy of God means in your life, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com, as we're talking with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert. And Father, we received an email from an anonymous listener who says she looks forward to praying the Divine Mercy prayer, for which she is very grateful and tries to promote whenever an opportunity arises. But specifically, she looks forward to praying it with Duru Mariani and Maggie every day at 3 p.m. Central, which, you can find right here on Relevant Radio. So I certainly want to encourage people to tune in for that, 3 p.m. daily. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew and Maggie. She also says, as a personal devotion, display the Divine Mercy image in each room of my home. It comforts me to be reminded how we can trust in Jesus no matter what we are facing in life. And that's one of the things that is part and parcel to the image are these words, Jesus, I trust in you. And maybe that's a good place to kick off this next segment too, is that what does it mean to trust in Jesus?
Well, I think that's a huge question. And, we talked a little bit last segment, about the history of the devotion, right? And St. Maria Faustina in Poland, 1938. Well, obviously, when you think about Poland in 20th century Catholicism, you can't think about that without the wonderful, Karol Wojtyła, Pope St. John Paul II. And, and him providentially becoming the Holy Father in 1978, in the midst of the Cold War, just all that he did to proclaim, the glories of the gospel to the whole world, seeing the fall of communism, proclaiming to the whole world, do not be afraid. I love that phrase, and just to, it's one of the marvels of modern technology. Like going back and watching a video of St. John Paul II saying that with his booming, strong voice, I can't help but get teared up. And why is that? Because that do not be afraid. How can you say that? Like in the midst of all of that evil, I mean, he grew up under both, Nazi then communist occupation, like saw so much evil in the world. And yet he can say to the whole world, do not be afraid. Why? Because he trusts in Jesus Christ. And, as we go from the horrors of the 20th century, probably one of the bloodiest centuries of ever, in the history of mankind, between the two world wars, some awful things going on, behind the Iron Curtain, and just huge, horrible atrocities against mankind inflicted by mankind. Just how awful that can be. And yet, as we move into the 21st century, the first saint that John Paul II canonized in the 20th century, Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, and so to give us that image, that person who received these revelations, who points us towards this image, who tells us to trust in Jesus. And I'll tell you, I feel like more and more, I don't know if it's just like a post-COVID thing or just from COVID on, like people seem to be more and more afraid, and we have more issues with people, just not knowing what's coming next, being more fearful, staying in, closing in on themselves. I think now more than ever, we need to remember that we can trust in Jesus Christ. Because when you get right down to it, the heart of what we celebrate in these days, we're in the octave of Easter, we're still saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And what does that mean? Jesus Christ, the day, today, risen from the dead. Like, we don't have to be afraid because he has conquered sin and death. Like, we are made for eternal life. And so moving forward into, we've moved a quarter of the way at this point, essentially, into the 21st century. Like, Jesus Christ is still risen from the dead. He still thirsts for our love. He still loves us. And so we can continue to trust in that, no matter how difficult things may be. And we can continue to take seriously the words of St. John Paul II, do not be afraid.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So grateful for that. Just a follow-up to that, Father, we got a different anonymous listener who emailed in and asked this question that I think ties directly in. How do we fully trust in the mercy of Jesus without being presumptuous of our salvation? That's an interesting question.
You know, presumption is an interesting thing. And, you know, God is utterly simple. Mercy, justice, they go together perfectly. He knows how to, you know, distribute them all. But, like, he's ultimately wanting to heal the wounds, you know, that are out there in the world. He wants to bring us to himself. And ultimately that involves true, authentic love of a disciple, right? And if we are authentically loving him, we're not going to be presumptuous. You know, it's not like, well, you know, I can just take mom and dad's car out and, you know, fill it with wrappers. And if I scratch it, no big deal. They love me. They'll get over it. It's like, no, if you really love and respect your parents, you're going to do the things toward them that show you, your love for them. And I would say, too, as we kind of talked about earlier about the, you know, the intention for tomorrow, the people that we are to bring to Jesus, the lukewarm. I would say that's when you fall into the trap of being presumptuous. When it's like, you know, whatever I do, it really doesn't matter to him because he's just going to love me anyway. Well, that's not a good place to be. That's being lukewarm. That's taking it all for granted. And now you don't have to live your life in fear. I mean, Jesus isn't looking for, you know, just a chance to come out and smite you and knock you down. But at the same time, he wants a relationship. You know, like, I know our Protestant brothers and sisters very often like to talk about, you know, like having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not totally wrong. I mean, that's a good thing. We should have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it's also ecclesial. We're also part of the body of Christ, part of the whole church. And, you know, the sacraments are important. And, you know, the church that he gave us is huge. But he does want a relationship. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him. And if you are really in love with someone, you're not going to take that love for granted. You're not just going to presume on their mercy and then do whatever you want anyway. It's sort of like the critique we get at confession sometimes. You know, it's like, oh, you Catholics, you just do whatever you want. Then you just go to confession and get it taken care of. It doesn't work that way, you know, right. In the same way that it's like you could have a really forgiving wife, right? It's like, well, so I can just do whatever I want. You know, I'm just out there being unfaithful. She'll forgive me in the end. Like, no, that hurts your relationship. Yes, she may be very forgiving, but if you're just going to treat her like that, it's going to hurt the relationship. It's not good for you. And so we want to keep striving to grow in that love. Now, does that mean we're never going to fall again? I wish it did, but no, it doesn't, right? That's why I'm in the confessional so much, because we do fall, we do trip up, but we've got to have a firm purpose of amendment to keep trying, you know, to keep doing our best to give him our love. And the fact of the matter is, he's fully human and fully divine. He is perfect. He is love incarnate. He knows that. He also knows that we are not perfect, that we are fallen, that we do have the wounds of sin. But he still loves us. He still did all of this for us anyway. And so what does he want? He wants us to keep trying. You know, he wants us to keep giving it our all, trusting in his mercy and striving to grow in that love and charity, that peace that he has come to give us.
Amen. Very good. Thank you, Father, for that. Speaking with Father John Ecker today about Divine Mercy Sunday and devotion to the Divine Mercy. What has mercy meant in your life? Give us a call at 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Mary calling in from Dallas, Texas. Mary, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. What is the difference between the special graces we receive on Divine Mercy Sunday versus getting a plenary indulgence?
Mary, that is a good question. So the biggest way that I understand this difference is when you come to the requirements for a plenary indulgence, one of them has to do with the fact that we can't have any attachment to sin. And apparently, like, that one is not part of the indulgence of Divine Mercy, like our Lord understanding, like, we may still be kind of attached to some of those sins. And he wants to just, like, pour out everything upon us, to just give us all of this mercy, even when we still have some attachment. Now, I would say that doesn't mean like you're planning on going out and sinning later today, but nevertheless, it's just sort of this extra special pouring out. Now, once again, I am not the expert on divine mercy, but that is the way I understand it. And it's just this day that we've been preparing for, and you know, and why is it on, you know, this particular Sunday? Well, when the church celebrates a big solemnity, and this is the biggest one we've got, she doesn't just do it for a day; she does it for 8 days. And this is the grand conclusion of those 8 days. And it's on that eighth day, with the praying of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, with being engaged in this, that our Lord wants to just take away, you know, the punishment due to sin, wants to just, you know, envelop us in the mercy and the ocean of His divine mercy. And so the way I look at this, it's just he's wanting to just pour it out all out on us, to take away as many of the requirements as possible, and just to give it to everyone that shows up to ask for His mercy.
Hmm. That's helpful. Thank you, Father. And Mary, hope that helps too, as well as we are gearing up for the celebration of Divine Mercy this Sunday. And that's what we're talking about on the show today. So thank you, Mary. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Judy, who I think has a related question. Judy, welcome.
Yes, hi. My question was, what are the conditions that we need to follow to get this grace on Divine Mercy Sunday? And I believe you did answer some of it just now, Father. But I don't know if there's anything else that we need to do.
I think you need to be in a state of grace. So having gone to confession within, I mean, even something I heard recently, it's like even just within Lent. I mean, as long as you're still close, you've gone to confession recently, it doesn't have to be on the Sunday. And I'll just say that, you know, on behalf of my brother priests, like, we're happy to hear confessions, but there's no way I can hear every one of the confessions in my parish on Sunday itself. Not only do I have the three morning masses, but it just, you know, our Lord knows that He's not going to ask us to do the impossible, right? So I'd say, you know, confession within a reasonable amount of time, either during Lent or like this week, and receiving Holy Communion, and then praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. As far as I know, those are the requirements of receiving, you know, the great graces that come for that day. And Patrick, please feel free to jump in if there's anything else that I'm leaving out.
Well, it sounded good to me. I think you hit him, but yeah, we'll let our listeners jump in as well if you have other things and other things you'd recommend, especially if you've developed a deep devotion to the Divine Mercy as well. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you on the program. So give us a call at 888-914-9149 as we are talking about devotion to the Divine Mercy and what difference the mercy of the Lord has made in your life. Give us a call. Give the Lord a shout out and His great mercy for you at 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Got more of the conversation coming up on the Divine Mercy right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Zentovich, our producer, and Thomas Engels are taking your phone calls today. It's a team effort. It always is a team effort here on The Inner Life. And joining the team today for us is Father John Eckert, pastor of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, as our spiritual director, as we're talking about devotion to the Divine Mercy. And just another reminder, in case you are unaware, Divine Mercy Chaplet is prayed each day at 3 p.m. Central right here on Relevant Radio by Drew and Maggie. So make sure and tune in and pray with them. And submit your prayer requests as well. Some amazing things the Lord has done in and through the prayer of that chaplet, and invoking the prayers and mercy of God through the chaplet as well. So grateful that you have joined us. And if you have a devotion to the Divine Mercy or a story about how the Divine Mercy has impacted your life, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Let's go back to the phones now, Father. We've got Gloria calling in from New York. Good afternoon, Gloria. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Okay, my story is about my aunt who I went to my country to visit her, and I noticed that she was sitting the whole time, and I decided to take her for a walk. That was before lunch. After lunch, so, I went to take a nap, and someone called me, "Your aunt is dying." So when I went to see her, actually she had passed away. So I took a taxi, took her to the hospital. During the whole time, I was praying the divine mercy. I would not stop. When I got to the hospital, the doctor said there is nothing to do. She doesn't have any vital signs. But I did not give up. I continued to pray in the Divine Mercy Chapel. And I was praying loudly, and a lady heard me from the next cell. And she came and she joined me. And I kept praying, and there was no signs. And finally, around 3 o'clock, and around 6 p.m., she woke up. And, the doctor was amazed. And, of course, I was very happy because I was feeling so guilty because it was my fault. I felt that because I put her to exercise. She was 99 years old. And, I felt that I had kind of done too much with her that day. So I was so thankful to the Lord. That was like probably 20 years ago. And I have so many miracles, but this is one of the most remarkable, that actually she came back to life.
Wow. Well, Gloria, thank you so much for sharing that story. Well, just say, with your aunt, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it kind of goes along with one of my favorite things I've heard about the sacrament of anointing of the sick, that this is either going to help you get better or it's going to get you ready for the best. And, you know, when it comes to like a story like that, it's beautiful that she woke up again. And that our Lord, I mean, he can be very much a Lord of surprises. And sometimes people get physically better, and it's incredible. And I mean, to see the way that God works in the natural order of things, and sometimes in a miraculous way like that, I mean, it's, you know, like glory to God, and we get to be a part of that. The other thing I would say, and especially with divine mercy, you know, it's like we're immersing these people in the ocean of the divine mercy. In fact, today's intention of the novena is to bring to our Lord all the holy souls in purgatory. And, you know, so we know that eventually we will pass away, that our earthly life will come to an end. And I think the big focus of this devotion is that ocean of, you know, of divine love, of divine mercy. He wants us to be immersed in that, to be forever with him. And so, like, having sins washed away, having wounds healed. You know, I really like to pray this prayer in particular thinking about, like, wounds in families, in my own family, in my own heart, and asking our Lord to heal those wounds and to trust him that he will come into it, into those wounds and do that. So whether that's, you know, physical wounds, like, you know, and thank God you didn't have to hold on to guilt after that. Like, if I was your priest, I probably would have said, hey, you were trying to do something kind for her. I mean, it's okay. But, you know, nevertheless, like, thank God you didn't have to hold on to that guilt. I mean, our Lord is so good. And, you know, to always turn to him in those difficult situations. And thank God we have a prayer like this to pray, to hold on to in the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for all of his mercies towards us. And Gloria, thank you for your testimony to the Divine Mercy working in your life and the life of your aunt as well. God bless you, Gloria. Continue praying that Divine Mercy Chaplet, and let's see the Lord continue to do his incredible works in and through it. Let's go now to Tom calling in from Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I'd like to share with you my first wife. She passed away, but she was very devoted to Divine Mercy. And she had breast cancer, and basically, although she had breast cancer, she had a quick downturn. And she wound up dying on Thanksgiving Day at precisely 3 p.m. She was very devoted to Divine Mercy, which was a great consolation. Sorry, 8 years later, I still get choked up. But she was already devoted to Divine Mercy, and many people shared with me that she got them devoted to Divine Mercy by sharing the books and things like that. So I don't think it was a coincidence that she passed precisely at 3 o'clock. So anyway, that's in a nutshell the story.
Wow.
It's a beautiful story, and thank you for sharing it. And, you know, it points to the fact, well, it's the H in Finch that we were talking about before, the hour, right? And, you know, we're going to have Divine Mercy Sunday this Sunday. It's incredible. It's beautiful. You know, the great eighth day of the octave of Easter. But you bring up a good point. Every day we have another opportunity to stop and recognize the unfathomable mercy of our God, who died on the cross for us, who loved us to the point of death, even death on a cross. And, you know, to stop and recognize that all the time. And thanks be to God for your wife. I mean, you think about this novena, I mean, the language from our Lord is today bring to me, and look at the good that she did in bringing other people in her life to him, you know, inspiring others to pray that prayer, like bringing people to the foot of the cross, because it's there that our Lord is glorified. It's there that we're reminded how much he loves us. And thank God for those gifts from heaven, like that death precisely at 3.
Yep, I would be in full agreement with you, Tom. No coincidence there. I think that is the Lord just offering his little wink and saying, hey, I mean, this is my mercy at work. And what better? That's the only way to die, if you want to put it that way, is to die in the Lord's mercy. So thank you, Tom. Thank you for that beautiful testimony to the Lord and his working of his divine mercy. Let's go now to Diana calling in from Las Vegas. Diana, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Yeah, so my question is that I remember that whenever we had the year of the Divine Mercy, I was told that we could ask for that plenary indulgence either for ourselves or for a deceased one. And I'm wondering if for this particular Sunday, rather than getting the graces myself, I could ask for my mom, who was deceased 3 years ago. Thank you.
Absolutely, Diana. I mean, like we talked about all the way back at the beginning with Cynthia about bringing other people. I mean, praying for others is so important. And I, you know, and or like we talked to Gloria a few minutes ago. She was praying for her aunt. You know, I mean, Tom, she was praying for his wife. You can always bring other people, and especially those who have passed. Like I said, today is the day that our Lord said, bring to me all those in purgatory. I mean, who knows if your mom's purgatory or where she is, but nevertheless, we keep trusting, we keep praying. That is never going to go to waste. You know, like our Lord knows what to do with our prayers. So I would say, yes, definitely be praying for your mom during these days, and especially on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Great question, Diana. Thank you so much for bringing it to The Inner Life, and thanks for listening as well. We've been talking about devotion to the Divine Mercy. And Father, just as we seek to close the show here, I'm on the website, thedivinemercy.org. We'll link to that website in our show notes, by the way, which can be found at relevantradio.com/innerlife. And the Divine Mercy message, one we can call to mind simply, this is from the website, by remembering ABC. A, ask for his mercy, B, be merciful, and C, completely trust in Jesus. And I think for your last here, your closing comments here, Father, I think I want to focus in on that B, to be merciful. So how can we become the face of mercy for the people in our lives?
That's a great, great question to close out on. I'll tell you, so as a priest, you know, so it's interesting, you came into the church 14 years ago. I was ordained a priest 14 years ago.
Nice.
And you know, it's interesting, like Divine Mercy has really grown on me over the years, sort of like you had said for you. It wasn't just like, boom, I'm completely devoted, this is amazing. Like it's gradually become more and more a part of my life, my devotion. And I appreciate this novena more and more every year, because I'll tell you, it used to be, especially as a priest, I'm embarrassed to say, but it's like, you know, you go through the Triduum, it's amazing. It's the World Series of the liturgical year. You give it your all. And the saying goes, it's like Jesus leaves the tomb, the priest crawls inside and takes a nap. Like I was ready to just kind of check out, you know, and just go to sleep for a while. And now granted, there is a physical taxing. I'm still kind of tired, you know, but it's a glorious thing. But these days, it's like this recognition that it's like, okay, it's not that we're done with something. It's that the ocean of our Lord's divine mercy is opened up upon the world. He is risen from the dead. That doesn't just mean, okay, it's time to kick back and eat a bunch of Reese's peanut butter eggs. You know, it's now, it's this mercy is like flowing out over the whole world. And guess what, folks? You get to be a part of the process. Like, get out there and spread it. And then you get to see the miracles. You get to be like Tom seeing the glory of God with his wife passing at 3, right? To see that lives can be changed, to see conversions, to see people coming to the church. The very first intention I offered when I prayed the novena for the first time was for my brother-in-law to become Catholic. And I don't remember how many years it took. I think it was 7. He came into the church last Easter. And wow. So those things, like, it's all in God's good timing, you know? And I have an intention this year, and I hope, you know, I trust in our Lord. It's in his good timing. But the thing I love about it is it's not just like, okay, let's just party for 8 days. It's, no, look, the love of heaven is bursting open on all this, and it's real, and we get to celebrate it. And then every day, we get to keep praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Amen and hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for being our spiritual director. May we have a blessing from you, please?
Absolutely. Through the intercession of St. John Paul II, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, and our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Mercy, may our Lord bless all of you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. If you missed any part of the program, as always, you can go back and hear it again and share it with others at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with Father Kevin Ripley. On Monday, here on the show, we're going to be talking about navigating conflict in marriage with Father Dave Heaney is back with us. Don't forget the chaplet at 3 p.m. every day with Drew and Maggie. Have a great Divine Mercy weekend. Until next time, grace and peace.